Okay, before I go into the first topic, you know what pisses me off more than anything else in the world, and I know for people who are here, who are listening, I know y'all go through this too. Whenever you download a song, okay, I'm going to let you know right now, black folks, white folks, Puerto Ricans, everybody, do not download any rap/hip-hop song off the internet for BearShare, LimeWire, Azurious, whatever you use. Do not download anything that has DJ before it. DJ Envy, DJ Clue, DJ Quick, DJ Drama, anything, because I guarantee you, I will bet my life on this today, you will have at least one song in there that's he is going to shout out everybody that he knows from his block, every mixtape DJ that he knows, every ex-girlfriend or baby mama that he's ever had in his life. He'll take about 45 seconds to a minute to do it too. You're trying to listen to the song, you're trying to hear Kanye spit. Next thing you know, you got DJ Drama in the back. AMG, that's what we do, baby. DJ Drama. I'm trying to hear the song, Drama. I'm trying to hear the song. We all know this is your mixtape. We understand that. I'm trying to hear the song, DJ.
We might not all really look the same, but baby, that's okay. It's White Boy Wednesday. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. Thank you. Thank your mama. Thank your grandmama. Thank your auntie, the uncle that never comes to the family reunions. Thank them all for tuning in with me tonight, 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night, how we do it every week, at least for the past 3 weeks now. Just want to give, a special thank you to everybody who's been tuning into the show since day one. It's been great, you know. We had people in the booth, you know. Hopefully I've been covering all the topics that you'd like to hear on a Wednesday night anyway. I really don't know what that entails exactly, but we're going to try to do that for you. Tonight's show is going to be a little, not so much different, but special. First of all, it's just me, so it's going to be real, real intimate, you know what I'm saying? It's me and you over the airwaves, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. That's always a good thing. But also, I wanted to talk especially about a Charleston issue. How can I put this? Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's not going to be a good thing. Either way, I have an opinion on it. If you know who I am, you know that I have an opinion on it. As usual, we're going to have the white boy of the week. We're going to have white boys in the news this week and past week. We're also going to, I'm probably going to look on the Twitter to see what kind of hashtag, White Boy Wednesday hashtags have been used in the past week or so. Again, like I said, no special guests today, but I mean, I'm pretty much all the special y'all need today, right? Exactly. Topic of tonight, this is kind of a joint thing between White Boys in the News and White Boy of the Week. This week's White Boy of the Week award goes to, and I'm pretty sure most of you don't know who this is. This actually came from a story that I found on thedigitale.com. Go check it out. Charleston's best source for news and information. Thedigitale.com. In regards to Charleston getting the rights to the second installment of the 787 Boeing project. Boeing Airline, this airline, it's an airline manufacturing company, Boeing. And we got the rights to it for them to build a plant in North Charleston. And it was down. It came down between Washington and South Carolina. And, of course, we won. We won the bid. And so, of course, I feel like this would have happened if Washington had won the bid. But people were fuming, livid, pissed off to the highest level of pistivity, if that's even a word. But there's a story that was online today that came out of the Seattle Times. One of the columnists of the Seattle Times pretty much broke down as to why Washington lost the Boeing bid to us, to South Carolina. And there was a really interesting quote that he put in there. Let's see if I can find it really quick. Okay, so this was talking about somebody had raised the idea that, you know, Washington lost the bid because we're a state that's expensive, high tax, high regulation, and you would expect higher profile companies to kind of back off and go to other states. This guy John Talton is his name, who is again the white boy of the week. John Talton came back and tried to give the reality of the situation by saying, and I quote, "Washington has one of the nation's better business climates, and it has been hurt much less by the Great Recession than most. Boeing received special tax breaks and other incentives to build the original 787 line here. Can the climate be made better? Yes. But that won't happen by trying to lower the living standards." Okay, this is the best part. This is the quote of the century. "By trying to lower the living standards and quality of life of Washingtonians, if that's even a term, Washingtonians, to those of a poor southern state. This is a high quality state and quality costs money." Oh my goodness. Hit the nail exactly on the head with that one. Now, I'm not trying to incite dissension among the ranks here when it comes to South Carolina pride, but that's not even the best part of the whole thing. But that particular quote spawned a whole tirade of comments, mainly from people in Washington. But when I first looked at the story, I'd say 6 hours ago, if that, there was a comment that someone from Southern North Carolina, said in defense of Charleston, in defense of, bless his or her heart, because, you tried, but it was just one of those situations where it was kind of just like, you know, shut up. But just don't talk for two seconds. Don't say a word. We got Boeing. Let's just leave it at that for right now. We got our own problems to deal with. But this guy, or I don't know if it was a male or female, felt compelled to give their opinion on the matter. And I don't know the comment verbatim, but it was along the lines of poor southern state. Are you serious? have you seen Charleston? Have you experienced its gorgeous climate? Have you been to its beaches? I highly doubt that things like that. And he went on to talk about how the overall scenery and landscaping of Charleston could not even begin to denote the idea of South Carolina being a poor state. And it killed me. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it killed me so much to have to read that and know that they were in defense. First of all, you're from North Carolina. Do not defend Charleston just because you came down here for a weekend, you know. You ate at Magnolia's for dinner. I don't, and stood in line at Justine's for lunch. Don't to, please don't try to defend Charleston. And if you're going to defend Charleston, at least do it right. It kind of brings up the idea of how, for some odd reason, and I'd actually mentioned this on my Twitter. If you want, I spout off at the mouth even worse on Twitter than I do here on the show, and that's in the daytime too. So if you want to catch some more of my stuff, just take a look at GQ Bound at GQ Bound, GQ BOUND. I'm always popping off at the mouth about something, but it kind of calls into question the idea of what constitutes South Carolina. Like, why is it that for some reason people can't separate Charleston from South Carolina? Like, it's almost as if Charleston is South Carolina. It's like, oh, you know, have you been to Charleston? Have you been to South Carolina? Oh, no, no, I have been to Charleston. You know, when you talk to people, it's like, have you ever visited South Carolina before? It's like, yeah, I've definitely been to Charleston a few times. But no. Have you been to places other than South Carolina, other than Charleston? And people are like, no, I have. I've been to Charleston. I went to the beach. I went to Mount Pleasant. You know, that's the same, right? Wrong. That's the problem. The people for the most part have developed this bubble, this safe, you know, pristine, historic, it has character, you know, the palmettos and the fountains and the beach, this wonderful temperate climate, and taken that and tried to blanket it across the entire state. I'll let you know right now. I'm probably one of the few people who have been outside of the city or have been outside of Charleston on a regular basis. I will tell you right now, ain't much. There is not much. It's so funny to have people talk about, oh, I don't understand why people assume that South Carolina is this poor, dumb state. Have you been to Charleston? I mean, come on. It's Charleston. That's pretty much South Carolina. That's all you need to know about South Carolina. I'm telling you right now, Charleston, compared to all the other states in the Southeast, is one of the poorer states overall. Hilton Head, Charleston, and Greenville can't hold up the entire state all the time. And so South Carolina is definitely one of the poorer states in the Southeast. And then comparing that to the rest of the country, good Lord, I don't even know. I don't even know where to begin as far as that's concerned. So it's really funny, again, how people just completely disregard the rest of the states when it comes to statistics like that. And if you actually do the research, it's true. I mean, we are one of the poorer states in the country, in the Southeast, let alone the country. You know, and I just thought that was funny. And on the other hand, you know, congratulations, Charleston, North Charleston, for getting the Boeing plant. But then again, a whole slew of new questions arise, as they should, when it comes to how jobs are going to be distributed. Because I don't think people realize that in Charleston especially, there isn't a very large group of keep in mind, Boeing is an aircraft manufacturing company. So they're looking for people, they're looking for engineers or people with engineering experience. Charleston is definitely a liberal arts city. not even a home of liberal arts schools. It's a liberal arts city. I don't want to go as far as to say, you know, people don't like to get their hands dirty in Charleston. But I mean, for lack of a better phrase, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of. I mean, there aren't very many. I don't think there are any. Any engineering programs at any of the schools in the greater Charleston area. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I really don't think there are. And people are excited about, you know, jobs this and jobs that, and why this is a great opportunity for Charleston, and I can't wait. And exactly. Okay, perfect example. I just got a direct message from Sean Hughes, and he's saying that they'll pull some Clemson, Georgia Tech, and NC State engineers. Exactly. It's like people got so excited about, oh, it's in Charleston, so you know it's going to. People got so caught up in the idea that, you know, Charleston won it, South Carolina won it. You know, that means a whole slew of new jobs for Charlestonians. No. I will tell you, I will let you know right now that there are engineers in the upstate, the upstate Piedmont, North Carolina, Georgia, and Georgia, Tennessee area that will gladly, if you told them now, they would gladly pack up their shit, bring their family down as close to Charleston as they could, and commute the rest of the way if they have to get that job. And I'll bet everything I have on this right now. You heard it first that people will make that commute is what I'm saying. And so Boeing is not even going to try. I really don't think Boeing's even going to try to look at Charleston or even anybody in Charleston County as a legitimate pool of engineering candidates. So, I mean, that's one thing that you have to look at. Like I said, people were so excited, 4,000 jobs or however. I mean, I've heard eight numbers today, 4,000, 12,000. I even heard 48,000. I even know how that's possible for sure. Job opportunities in Charleston, but sure, if you can call in and let me know, call in, text in, tweet me right now, send me a Facebook message or something right now about if you have one engineering friend in the Charleston area that would be a suitable candidate to work at Boeing, let me know now. Don't worry, I'll wait. Exactly. I don't have not one engineering friend, not one. And I also just got another DM from somebody, from a friend, Mantha. She said that the Citadel might be the only school in the Charleston area that has something that even resembles an engineering program, which just gives you an idea of it really gives you the reality as to what kind of jobs are going to go to whom if and when this Boeing plant gets off the ground. But I hate to, you know, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, you know, but you always got to play devil's advocate when it comes to stuff like that. Because especially in Charleston, you tell somebody, I don't know what it is in Charleston, you tell somebody that a new restaurant, a new store is opening up, people get so excited. They'll go to that restaurant for like the first week. Next thing you know, they're they're back at Mama Kim's eating a steak bowl like nothing happened.
Cashing everything around me, cream it. Yeah, check this old fly shit out. Word up. Cash taking everything around me, cream it. The money, here we go. Check this shit. Yeah, I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job. Had taken hands, moms bounced on old man. So then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. No goose, only way I begin to G-York was drug loot.
Now, the pièce de résistance, as they say. This topic spawned. I kind of touched on it last week. I don't know if we really went into too much depth about it, but just talking about how there was some opposition as far as getting the show off the ground. I mean, my defense is like, come the hell on. It's Wednesday night, 10 to midnight. You know, a CFC, or just a college radio show. I mean, how many people could I really, really piss off? Honestly, you know, I've been trying, but y'all been pretty good sports about it. But a friend of mine sat me down a few days ago, and an acquaintance, if you will, not necessarily a friend. But he sat me down a few days ago, and he told me straight up, he with this concern, this very concerned look on his face. And he's just like, Brian, like, what? What's going on? Do you realize that what you're doing with this show? I'm thinking back in my head, dicking around. What's going on? What's up? What am I doing? It's like, you are actively, Brian, participating in what we like to call reverse discrimination. And I died. I was like, what? Reverse discrimination? I tried to get him to explain it to me. He was like, well, basically, it's discrimination against white people. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I fell out. I'm usually trying not to be rude to people when I'm talking to them face to face, but I laughed in this mofo's face when he said this. And you know the kind of laugh, maybe I'm the only one who does this, but kind of laugh where you like, it's so hearty, you kind of like spit, kind of like get some spittle, you know, when you're laughing. Just to piss off the other person, like, you're laughing in their face so hard that you want them, like, you want them to feel that shit, like, physically and emotionally, so you get a little spittle going, a little spit shower going as you're laughing. That's the kind of laugh that I gave this dude. I just didn't understand the idea of reverse discrimination. And, like, when he said it, it harkened back to that whole gray period, which is, what, a few months ago, when Sotomayor got the nomination to hold a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court, and how people just, white guys, just old, rich white guys, just grilled her for days, and then Bill O'Reilly came out, and Rush Limbaugh came out, and Jesse Jackson came out. I don't even know why Jesse Jackson came out, but you know he always comes out when everybody else comes out. And it was just like, they were all just like, Sotomayor's just racist, just this deep-seated hatred towards white men. And I don't even know, quite frankly, I really don't even know what I did. people started to take, like, personal offense to it. Like, I don't even know what I did to the woman. I don't even know what I did to the little Latina. Like, people refer to her as the Latina. I don't even know what I did to Latinas, especially her. And I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. And I don't know. It's a funny situation how, and this actually spawned a story, a personal column that I did for my opinions writing class today. And my thing is, with reverse discrimination, first of all, I was under the assumption that discrimination was a universal concept. It, regardless of the race of both the discriminator and the discriminate, you know, the one being discriminated, you know, and it just struck me as weird that people over time have made the idea of discrimination solely the minority's problem. Oh, this is something that minorities have to deal with because I'm the majority, and quite frankly, it's just weird when people try to discriminate against me. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird. I've never, like, the majority has never in their lifetime had to deal with that. And so, and it's odd that the majority has put their heads together, you know, gotten to their think tanks, and decided to deem this term reverse racism as a thing, as like this was a legitimized thing. And I what I'm trying to do with this show, okay, for anybody who's been listening for the past 3 weeks, you know, I have not been. I mean, granted, people who know me, know that I can be a jackass at times, but I have not been a jackass on the show for the most part. I have not been inflammatory. I have not been blatantly offensive towards any race, any creed, color, ethnicity, you know, any religion, any sexual orientation. But if you push my button, we might have to throw down. I don't know. But, you know, I just, I, what I'm trying to, what the, what the, the joke here, if anybody hasn't gotten it already, is that I am African American. I'm an African American radio host of a show called White Boy Wednesday. Come on, see, I can't help but laugh now, goddamn. So, and just all in all, just chill out. It's gonna be fine. We're gonna hold hands, and before it's all said and done, we're gonna sing Kumbaya, and it's gonna be great. And you know, maybe we'll go out and go out for some fresh berry afterwards, you know, because I heard you white folks love that.
She don't know. She want neo soul, but she don't have a soul. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum or icy gold. She want a whole lot of sun to go. If you were out to close, she just got the cold. Cause one more, you don't stop the show. Little man's bad. In these streets, she don't know. And since when he began, it's on the ground up here. Calm down, I'ma hold your hand. To enable you to beat the flame, cause she was quick to learn. And we can make money to burn. If you allow me to lead this game, I don't ask for much. But enough for you to spend my money.
I actually got something here from Kevin. He says, reverse discrimination only really refers to ideas such as affirmative action, where the majority is actually punished for being the majority. Your friend's a goddamn idiot. Yes, he is, Kevin. But oh no, this is interesting. This kind of brings up an interesting topic: the idea of affirmative action. Now, black people, please don't get mad at me when I say this, but I've never been on the boat completely when it's come to affirmative action. I don't know. Yeah, I said it. That's right. I said it. I said it on CFC Radio. I said it. Goddamn. I said it on White Boy Wednesday. I said that shit. I have never been fully 100% behind the idea of affirmative action. I mean, I understand the idea of being a so-called product of your environment, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I understand that. But I also understand that every person, as a human being, especially a grown-ass human being, should be equipped with the ability to make the right decisions, should know right from wrong, should know that, oh, you know, I'm living in this situation, but I want to do better for myself. I want to do better for myself. I want to show my family I can do better for myself. I want to do better for the generations after me. So I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure that I get to that point. You see what I'm saying? That's a very logical train of thought. But it seems that there's a group of people, and I'm not gonna sit here and try to categorize said group, because it could be anyone stretched across a socioeconomic plane. But I feel like there's a certain group that tends to fall back on this idea of, oh, well, it can't be helped because I grew up in this situation, this is the only thing I know, and, you know, that's it. End of story. There's nothing I can do. I'm going to continue to be, you know, a menace to my society, and there's nothing you can say or do about it, and there's nothing I can say or do about it, which is absolute bullshit. Take responsibility for your own actions. If you know you're doing wrong, then you need to sit your ass down and say to yourself, maybe I should stop doing wrong. Your mama raised you better than that. I'm pretty sure your mama raised you better than that. And if you weren't raised by your mama, then your grandmama and auntie, I'm sure somebody done told you somewhere along the way that, boy, that just ain't right. Maybe you should stop doing what you are doing right now. And be a contributing member to society. Because the only thing it does in the end is it puts, and this is just, I guess this is more or less my own radical theory, it puts excess strain responsibility and liability on individuals of a specific ethnicity that are doing well in society, that are doing what they're supposed to do in society, that are being upstanding citizens, that are getting an education, that are getting jobs, being responsible financially, so on and so forth. And then, and that's when it becomes a situation where minorities especially become represented by a select few. That's when you get your Jesse Jacksons and your Al Sharptons and your even to go as far as saying your O.J. Simpsons and, you know, those standout individuals of a specific race that other people, namely the majority, fall back on or go to as the end all, as the walking talking reference book for the rest of their race, which is very detrimental, which ends up being very, very detrimental to everyone in the end. I mean, for lack of a better term, detrimental to everyone. I really don't know how that ties in with affirmative action, but you know, I've been going off on my tangents. But yeah, I mean, going back to affirmative action, I've never fully liked it. I mean, in all honesty, if you really look at the history of affirmative action from the time it was first enacted till now, the one social group that has benefited from it more than anyone else are white females, which is the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. It's white females that benefit more from it than anyone else. And I just don't like the idea that you tell a group that, you know, oh, we're gonna put you 20 feet behind, you know, the blacks or the Latinos or the Asians. You know, we're gonna put you 20 feet back and give them a head start as far as, because based on historical properties. And I understand that you know, minorities in this country especially have been through some shit. Yes, we've all read a book. We've all read a book on the history of specific minorities in this country. I fully understand that. And I also agree that if we could bring that generation back today, that I would do whatever I could to make sure that they were, I don't want to say reparations, goddamn, but that there was some sort of apology, some sort of formal apology issued towards that generation. But that's not the case. And to use affirmative action as a stepping stone, as like a starting block for that is irresponsible. It's not only is it irresponsible, it just ends up pissing people off. Because, you know, even in the game of life, you hate it. You will get mad regardless of who you are. If you like using the racing allegory, is like if you got pushed back 20 feet, you know, against everyone else when it came to this race, you'll be a little upset. You're like, what the hell? What the hell? Like, why? What do they have that I don't have? You know? Yeah, other than a 200-year head start. No, I'm playing. But, you know, it's affirmative action's lame. The guy who said that reverse discrimination was discrimination against white people is lame. And I don't know. It's just, everybody just needs to relax. Race, I'll tell you right now, race is funny to me. I've had conversations with people in the past. Racism, people get hung up on race, and it's so funny. There are cultural characteristics that distinguish one person, one ethnicity from another. Duh. A 2-year-old can figure that shit out. I mean, I'm just saying, don't get too hung up on the niceties of it all. Don't don't try so hard to be so politically correct all the time. Because I feel like some people have gone, oh, some people have put their foot in their mouths trying to be nice around me. It's like, oh, God, I remember it was a few years ago. One dumb girl in one of my classes, I think it was Women and Gender Studies. She, we were talking about black feminism, the idea of black feminism, and I guess she was trying to cite something from a text that we read that we were assigned a few days before, and she said, oh, well, I understand why, and I quote, I don't understand why coloreds have to separate themselves from the rest of the feminists of the world. And I was like, you know, and this is my freshman year, so I was in extra jackass mode back freshman year. And so, I'm in the back, you know, flipping, you know, being as loud as all get out, flipping through our required reading for that day. And I'm like, this bitch done lost her mind. There is not one mention of colored in here. I see Negro, I see African American, I see Afro American. God damn it, I see Negro American. There is no colored in here anywhere. And then, I don't know what happened, but I'd like to think that she heard me flipping and mumbling, the only black guy in the class, flipping, and that's when I had the fro too. I had a banging ass fro. Don't talk shit, because that fro was real. I had a banging ass fro, and so, you know, I looked extra militant. Chilling in the back of the class, looking extra militant, mumbling and grumbling to myself, flipping, tearing through pages, like, this sister said color, and there is not one colored word in this whole reading. Not one, not a one. And then she started stumbling on her words, and she's just like, and then I finally was like, black boo-boo, black. I think you mean to say black. the name of this chapter is Black Feminism. Black Feminism, baby. All right. Don't slip up again. I'll be ass. But, I mean, just don't waste all that time trying to be politically correct. Oh, I'll just say that. Just don't do it around me, because it's just, I'll just laugh at you. I'll laugh in your face. I laugh in your face like I laughed in an old dude's face who tried to define reverse discrimination to me. But, yeah, man. We're cool. I'm cool. You're cool. Let's just chill. Let's just chill. Talk shit about each other, and still go out and get a beer afterwards. As you know, Halloween is coming up. Anybody who's familiar with, especially the CFC campus, knows that there's a certain, how can I say this, energy, if you will, a certain exuberance that comes with Halloween. Basically, for some reason, CFC students get more excited about Halloween than any other holiday on record. Not Christmas, not Jesus' birthday, not your birthday, none of that. Halloween, people go crazy. And last week, I actually kicked off my Halloween festivities this past weekend. I went to this freak show. I don't even know what to call it. Skinful Halloween. I believe it's the ninth one that they've done. It started with this couple out of their house. And it was just a night of debauchery and just crazy, nasty, freaky stuff. And it bloomed into this annual thing that everybody comes through. Everybody gets dressed up. I'll tell you what. When I went last weekend, I saw like two bubble boys. I saw like 25 guys with no clothes on. They came like legitimately came to skinful, and they had it over at the old Navy Yard, the Navy Yard on the old Naval Base, in a warehouse of all things, goddamn, a warehouse. And like 25 guys, no pants on, just drawers. And I went up to one, I was like, homie, what are you supposed to be? And he turned to me and he said with the most earnest face, dog, I don't even know. I had pants when I came here. I had a shirt too. I don't know what happened. But it was absolutely bananas. I have never seen a crazier group of white folks in my life. People were smoking weed. People were on some psychedelic shit. There was a dude in leather pants who was who laid on a bed of glass and had some other girl walk over him. They had pole dancers. They had a bubble machine. They had white tigers and a laser show. I'm playing about the tigers, but you would think after all the crazy stuff that was there, you would have seen some tigers or a lion or a bear or something. It was absolutely ridiculous. But that's absolutely nothing compared to what it's going to be like this weekend. I know there are events going from Friday through Monday. That's how serious, because it's been a few years, if I'm not mistaken, since. It's been at least a year or two since Halloween's fallen on the weekend. And so, you know, people are going to be doing extra this weekend. And so I kind of just wanted to talk to y'all, the audience, all the old listeners, and welcome all the new listeners. Got a few new listeners in the past 20 minutes or so. Hello, how you doing? Sit your ass down. Get comfortable. It's about to get real. What I wanted to know, kind of get some feedback from y'all, is what do you guys plan on going as this Halloween? Not only what do you plan on going as, but what do you expect? What do you expect? What kind of stuff do you expect to see this Halloween? What do you think you're gonna see? I'll tell you right now, I know for a fact. I was talking about this with a friend of mine. I'm gonna see at least there are gonna be a few. I think Sean Hughes actually said this. He's like there are gonna be a few dead Michael Jacksons. I know that. Not living, for real, like thriller, like zombie Michael Jacksons. I know there's gonna be at least a few dead Billy Mayses walking around, and I'm just like, damn, y'all really gonna take it that far? Like, really, Billy Mays? Yeah. Oh, and actually, Kevin just brought up an interesting point that daylight savings time starts on the 1st, that Sunday. So, just when you think it's about 2 o'clock, boo, baby, it's 1 o'clock all over again. Yes. Yes, you gotta love it. As much as you hate it, you gotta love it. Cause you're just like, damn, what time is it? I gotta go to work in the morning. What are we doing out here? It's 6 a.m. I thought it was 3. But no, what kind of things you guys expect to see out there? Like I said, dead Michael Jackson, which is all types of messed up. But I mean, it's to be expected. You know, it's whatever. Just like how there was the joke, there were a whole bunch of jokers a year before that, and then a few years before that, you had a whole bunch of jackasses dressing up as Tyrone Biggums. You know, that was the big thing back when Chappelle's Show was real. So, you know, there's always that one. You know, there's always that one or two costumes that's really gonna that's gonna be prominent. I don't know how it's gonna be as far as women are concerned. I mean, if we really want to take it there, you know how women are gonna dress. I mean, that's just one of those things. You could take a regular ass costume. You could take a nun costume, and I swear to you, you can find anywhere in the Greater Charleston area, you will find at least one slutty version of it. No, I'm gonna go as a nun. I'm going as a nun. I'm like, oh, you have a girl come up to you. Oh no, I'm gonna be a nun. You'll see tomorrow. It's gonna be great. Just a nun, all nunned out, nunified, and everything. Next thing you know, you see her the next day, ass out, and some clear stripper heels with a cross on. And you're like, what the? Come on now. You got to meet me halfway, boo boo. You got to meet me halfway. And I heard that, excuse me, and actually heard that this year it's gonna be quite nice outside too. It's gonna be quite nice as far as the temperature's concerned. So you know, oh my goodness, you know, it's gonna be some ignorance. It's gonna be some straight ignorance this weekend. I'll tell you right now, some poor little white girl's gonna end up on the side of a milk carton. I hate to say it, but somebody's gonna get snatched up if people are not careful. So make sure that if you are traveling the streets Halloween weekend, Halloween night, be sure that you travel in groups. If you're going to get drunk, which I know all 99.98% of you are, make sure that you have a reliable way home. I understand that people get drunk and people get emotional and want to break out before the party's over, crying, mascara running down the face, costume all messed up, trying to walk home in 4-inch heels at 2:00 in the morning on a Saturday night during Halloween weekend. No, that is a recipe for disaster, boo-boo. What you need to do is go to the bathroom, clean yourself up, get a cup of water, sit down, and get yourself together. There is no reason for you to be getting upset trying to walk home off of East Bay or off of Market Street or off of King Street, knowing full well you live past the crosstown on the east side, and you know they don't play on the east side. Please don't do that to yourself, because I don't, especially after I've told you right here on this radio show not to do it, I don't want that on my conscience. I really don't.
Hey, yes, y'all. You and I are two clips of the legendary Fast Nation.
I wanted to give a huge shout out to everyone who has been sticking with me since day one. Props to y'all. I understand that I'm off the wall about some certain things, but you stuck with me through it. You humor me every Wednesday from 10 to midnight. I couldn't do it without you. Everybody who's been supporting me on Twitter, telling people to tell their people to tell their people to listen to my show. Thank you to all y'all. Everybody who's joined my Facebook group, the White Boy Wednesday Facebook group. Thank you as well. I appreciate everything. I love you all, and I hope to God that you love me back enough to come listen to this goddamn show next week. Awesome. All right, well, I'm going to sign off. But before I do, I'm going to leave you with my boy, Citizen Cope, from the Clarence Greenwood recordings called My Way Home. So, with that said, this is your boy, GQ Bound. I love you all. Come back next week. Leave a light on me.